The Holy Gospel, according to Matthew, the 11th chapter. Jesus spoke to the crowd, saying, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, and you have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and the Son except the Father, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord.
My dear brothers and sisters, I bring you grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So as I mentioned in my welcome, I am of course aware that yesterday was the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, so it's a particularly special Independence Day weekend this year. I hope you know that Independence Day is actually not a church holiday, but given the sort of significance of this particular year, I thought it'd be a missed opportunity if we didn't spend a little time thinking about that today. So I'd like to lift up a couple of passages today, one from the Declaration, whose 250th anniversary we celebrate today, and one from the Gospel, and sort of reflect on what those might have to teach us today. And I'll start with the sentence from the Declaration of Independence, which more than one person has called the most important sentence ever written in the English language. And I think we all know it by heart. We hold these truths to be that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are liberty and the pursuit of happiness. That's right. Now, I want to raise a question about one of the words in that very important sentence and respond to it by turning our attention to that sentence and also turning our attention to the gospel passage for today. But before I do, like many of you perhaps, this 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, I've been listening to a bunch of podcasts about the founding of the nation. I learned something in the last week which I didn't know before, which is that the original draft of the Declaration of Independence, and it was largely, you probably know this, it was largely written by Thomas Jefferson, had a slightly different sentence than the one we know in that most famous sentence. He actually wrote, "We hold these truths to be sacred and undeniable," in the original draft. Isn't that interesting? And you may know this too, there was actually a committee of five people. One of those was Thomas Jefferson, and he was tasked with drafting the initial rough draft. But then he gave that draft to four other people. Those people included John Adams and Benjamin Franklin. And they responded with edits, which I will tell you, Thomas Jefferson was not a big fan of the edits. It was actually Benjamin Franklin, no less than Benjamin Franklin, who scratched out sacred and undeniable and suggested instead the version we have today. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Jefferson, what was the word he used? He said that the committee had mutilated his draft. So he wasn't a very good, you know, responder to edits. And he actually, I'm told, he kept the original rough draft for the rest of his life, and he would pull it out at dinner parties to show people how good it could have been, you know. In defense of the committee, after 250 years, I think it's held up pretty well. And the truth is, I've struggled as I prepared for the message to remember the word sacred and what was the, see, I can't even remember. So I think Franklin was onto something. Anyway, so that's an interesting historical tidbit. Now, the question I want to ask this morning, again, is related to that sentence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. And the serious question I want to ask, or have us sit with for a bit, is what does that word mean? What does it mean to be equal? And I'm going to respond again. I'm going to give you two answers to that, one from the Declaration and one from the Gospel. What I will begin by saying, though, is that whatever else equal means, it does not and cannot mean identical. And that is absolutely self-evident. Even in this room, we all may be equal, but that does not mean we're identical, right? We're different ages, we're different heights, we're different weights, we're different sexes, we have different abilities and skills, we have different colored hair and different colored skin. So even though we may be equal, we're not identical, we're not exactly the same. And by the way, that's a really important thing for us to remember as members of the church. We are equal but not identical. I'll talk about that another sermon. But if we aren't equal by virtue of our being identical, what does it mean? And again, from the sentence in the Declaration of Independence, I'll give you the first answer. And by the way, these two answers aren't the only answers, but they're important ones. And again, the sentence reads what? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they are endowed by their creator, okay? And that those two words, creator and created, give us the first answer to how are we equal. We are equal because each of us, and certainly this is a Christian view, is made in the image and likeness of the God who created us, which means we are sons and daughters of that God, and we are brothers and sisters of one another, and that the rights we have as human beings derive, this is related to that word unalienable, only unalienable or inalienable, they mean the same things, mean those rights can't be taken from us. And one of the insights of the founders of the Declaration, or the founders of this country, was those rights are not given to you by the state and therefore cannot be taken away from you by the state. They are an intrinsic part of you. They're part of what gives you human dignity by virtue of the fact that you are a child of God, okay? So that's the first point I want to make, is that we are equal because we are made by the same God and therefore are brothers and sisters of one another, okay? The second answer I want to suggest this morning comes from the Gospel, which is the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And it says a lot of things in there, but the most famous verse for sure from that gospel is this beautiful, towering line. This is Jesus himself speaking, who says this to everyone in the world: "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." And again, here's a hint at what makes us equal. You will notice Jesus does not say, "Come to me, all you have figured out life and have things going perfectly for you." He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens," which suggests to me, and this has been my experience as a pastor, that that means all of us. And by the way, if you are not at some point in this life weary and carrying heavy burdens, I want to talk to you after worship today, right? All of it, it's a way of saying life is filled with challenge. It's filled with pain. It's filled with grief. It's filled with struggle. And we all share that. So that's another way that we are equal, to the degree that each of us at different times in our life is weary and are carrying heavy burdens. And we have this incredible God who invites us to lay those burdens down at his feet. I'm struck by the fact that that verse, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest," has real resonance with another poem that's important in the life of our country. It's by Emma Lazarus, "The New Colossus." It's the poem that was written to help fund the Statue of Liberty. And what does that say? "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. And of course, she wrote that as a way of saying that this is a country that welcomes into it people who are hurting and struggling. But it's also a reminder, like that verse from the gospel today, that those descriptions apply to each and every one of us. Each of us are tired. We are poor in our own ways. We are yearning in our own ways to be free. Why is that important? I think acknowledging that, recognizing that, allows us in a place like this, coming out from a world which is sort of saying, you got to get it all right. You can't make mistakes. Your worth, your value is dependent on your ability to be perfect, which none of us can be. And so we come here and we can acknowledge, I am tired. I am weary. I am carrying a heavy burden. And we can be honest about that. For me, at least, that allows us, I think, to sort of take a breath, right? And be real with each other, who again are equal in that kind of suffering. I'm struck here by a couple of really wonderful lines by two famous theologians of the 20th century. One was Thomas Merton, who says this, "Pride, so not acknowledging our brokenness, not acknowledging our weariness, pride makes us artificial. Humility," he says, "acknowledging our brokenness, acknowledging the weight we carry, humility makes us real," right? I love that. So here we can be real with one another, our brothers and sisters who are struggling just as we are struggling. And then there's Dietrich Bonhoeffer, of course, that famous Lutheran theologian of the 20th century, who understanding that recognizing our weariness, recognizing our brokenness, allows us to have a little bit of grace for ourselves and for others, said this, "We must learn to regard people less in light of what they do or omit to do." Anyone ever do that? Judge people by what they've done or not done, right? That's part of our brokenness, our fallenness. But we must learn to regard people less in light of what they do or omit to do, and more in light of what they suffer. Again, remembering that each of us, in our lives, in ways we can't imagine, have suffering and weights and burdens. It allows us to be real with one another and honest with each other. Does that make sense? So again, we're equal because we're made by God, and we're also equal in the fact that we suffer in this life. Now, I want to end with a kind of benediction for you. Not once, but twice this week, different people in different contexts have suggested to me or referenced to me that passage I just read from the Gospel of Matthew, but from a paraphrase of it, a very famous paraphrase. It's not technically a translation of the Bible by Eugene Peterson, who is a really well-known pastor and author in the 20th century. And so I'm going to read his paraphrase of that ending of the 11th chapter of Matthew, again, as a kind of benediction or a blessing for you. Here's what he says. "Are you tired, worn out? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it." This is Jesus talking again. "Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Friends, on this Independence Day weekend, I pray that we will take Jesus up on his invitation to follow him so that we can live freely and lightly. And returning to that word I started with, my prayer is that when we do that, we can show through our words and actions to a weary world that God's love is indeed self-evident. Will you pray with me? Good and loving God, we are grateful that you have made us as your children, as your sons and daughters and brothers and sisters of one another, and we are grateful that you invite us here to be honest with you and ourselves and others about the weight we carry. We pray that as we respond to your love in our lives, you will allow that same love to shine through us so that the kingdom of your great love will be known to all. And all this we pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen.